September 4th, 1902. Council to Workers. Ellen G. White. To my brethren bearing responsibilities in the Southern Union Conference. I have not slept since 2 o'clock. I have an intense interest in all that concerns the welfare of the Southern work. When a difficult field is presented before me as a field that must be worked, I understand that I must make this field my special burden until, before the earnest, continuous efforts put forth, the difficulties disappear and the work is established. The Southern field, with its encouraging and discouraging features, has been kept before me for many years. The other day, as I was sitting in my office room, I seemed to lose all sense of where I was. A company was before me. It seemed to be a business meeting, and differences of opinion were expressed regarding the subjects under consideration. Instruction was then given by one who has authority. All that is now said regarding the Southern field is to be said with a full comprehension of the existing difficulties. No hasty movements are to be made in taking men out of positions and putting other men in their places. The principle that is to regulate the proceedings of the last great assize is contained in the words, "Justified by faith, judged by works." This is our day of trust, a time of solemn privilege. Soon is to come our day of reckoning. God is the absolute owner and director of all people, and in a special manner of His church. To every human being are entrusted gifts. There is no child of God, high or low, rich or poor, who is not the possessor of some sacred trust. We are stewards of the manifold grace given to every man to profit withal. All that we have, we receive from Christ. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. Some are filled with self-complacency. They think that were they entrusted with greater talents and larger responsibilities, they could do a work that would be of much advantage. Often, such ones are self-deceived. Let every one beware. Some are filled with restless desire for a higher place. With ourselves, it is well to be discontented, if this strengthens our efforts to do something better, to reach a nobler good. But let none mourn that they cannot glorify God in the use of talents that He has not entrusted to their keeping. He holds us responsible only for the work that He has placed in our hands. One thing all can do. They can avoid making the work of others unnecessarily hard by criticizing their efforts, putting stones in front of the wheels of the car they are trying to push uphill. If they are unwilling to help, to put their shoulder to the wheel, let them at least refrain from hindering those who are working. God calls for workers who will refuse to discourage their fellow workers. There is room for all to use their God-given talents. What are we doing with our gifts? Men are needed who can plan for the successful performance of the many duties waiting to be done. Who will fit himself for the position of sacred trust that God wishes him to occupy? Do the work for which you are adapted. Do not exhaust your mental and physical strength by complaining of what others are doing. No one has any excuse for murmuring about the work of his neighbor. Take hold somewhere and prove yourself a successful worker. Each office has a burden proportionate to its importance. The Southern work has been the subject of prejudice and evil surmising. The spirit of wicked opposition has been manifested by some who were more in need of correction than were those criticized. This field, in its unsightly barrenness, has stood before heaven as a witness against the unfaithfulness of those who have had great light. When I think of this long neglected field and of the way in which it has been treated, there comes over me an intensity of feeling that words cannot express. I can only pray that the Lord will raise up workers to enter this field. As yet, there are only a few places in the South that have been worked. There are many, many cities in which nothing has been done. Why did not those who felt so free to criticize go to work in this needy field and do something as wise and just and righteous as that which they required from those whom they criticized? If men know so well what ought to be done, why do they not take hold of the work that for years has been urged upon them? Those who have not borne the burden of opening up the work among the colored people can know comparatively little of the trials, the prayers, and the wrestling of those who have been pioneers in this work. And those who have never borne the burdens connected with the successful building up of publishing enterprises can comprehend comparatively little of the perplexities and necessities of this work. Men are few who have the adaptability for this work that would make their efforts successful. The work needs men who are willing to begin small, yet who are broad and liberal in their plans. Men who are willing to reach to the lowest sinner and lead him upward to the light. In their determination to meet the people where they were, the pioneers of successful work among the colored people were obliged to teach old and young how to read. This was a laborious task. They had to provide food and clothing for the needy. They had to speak comforting words to the downcast. Those who, after a day's work, walked miles to attend night school needed sympathy. The teachers had to adapt their instruction to many varied minds. Angels of God looked on with approval. The workers had God's commendation. Many times the plans laid to drive them out of the field were frustrated by His providence. Some mistakes were made, for it was a difficult matter to know how to advance the various interests. The workers passed through an experience of disappointment and trial. But Christian love and patience won for them the victory. Reverses taught them caution. They learned much by what they suffered and gained a valuable experience.